You're listening to another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with your guy, Bully Rye and PJ Steven.
That's right, everybody. It's another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, and it's Thanksgiving week. Got some exciting stuff planned over the next few days. But for right now, we are doing what I've been promising you for about 2 weeks. And we are reviewing WWE's Crown Jewel 2022. So without further ado, let's welcome back to the show, the wrestling show co-host, PJ Steven. PJ, how you doing today, bud?
Dude, I am feeling pretty good. It is a wonderful Sunday evening. A little chilly outside. Got a couple drinks in my body. I'm feeling good, and I'm ready to review this pay-per-view that was better than I expected, and I can't wait to kind of get into it. And you and I are gonna kind of eat our words a little bit about a certain main event star that was in this show. I mean, yeah. I think we are. We haven't really talked about this show off camera, which is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'll let you speak for yourself for that matter. But yeah, let's get right into the opening bell. Let's run through the card here. Crown Jewel. Took place in help me pronounce this. Is it Saudi Arabia? It's obviously Saudi Arabia. Is it Riyadh, Saudi Arabia?
Riyadh, maybe.
Riyadh.
I'm an idiot. It is Riyadh.
Yeah, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia took place in November of 2022.
Tell us you're white without telling us you're white.
Jesus, yeah, that was bad. A couple storylines heading into the show, obviously. The main event picture, you had social media, I guess they call him social media megastar. Logan Paul would challenge Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Champion. They really tried to push that it would take is one lucky punch and Logan Paul could become champion. Sort of a, not really a payoff, but the rivalry between the Judgment Day and the OC, who is newly put back together with AJ Styles and Karl Anderson, Doc Gallows. I'm not going to go through all these. PJ, let's kind of pose this question. What was your most anticipated match on this card?
Definitely the OC match. I love me some AJ Styles. I love me some good brother, Bullet Club, good brothers. Seeing Karl Anderson back in WWE was super, super fun, along with, Luke Gallows as well. Also, I was looking forward to the Bianca and Bayley match, the last woman standing. I was really looking forward to that a lot. The card is pretty fucking solid. And, I've gone on record to say I'm not a big fan of these Crown Jewel matches, events, but this was really, really good. And you didn't
you can call Paul, you can call Logan Paul a part-timer, but he's got a full contract with WWE right now. And that was always my problem with the Crown Jewels, because they brought in guys like Goldberg, and then God, they had that tag team match between Brothers of Destruction and DX that was just God awful, an abortion of a match. And but this wasn't too bad. You had full, I'm rambling here, but you had full timers on here, and it felt like another pay per view instead of something that's just fucking special. So yeah, I dug that. But yeah, to answer your question, going in longer, the Bianca and Bayley match, and definitely the Judgment Day and an OC match.
Yeah, I think we're dead on agreement there. I mean, you've got Finn Balor, the OC. We're gonna get into it. They actually call out Bullet Club in this match, which is something unique that I didn't think we'd ever hear on WWE TV. And then Bianca Belair, Bayley, last woman standing match for the Raw Women's Championship. I was curious as to how they were going to go with this, but I think to your point, man, like you said it at the top of the show, this card was generally better than we expected it to be. So there were 8 matches on the card. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to break it down and get into this card match by match breakdown. And we're going to go over what we've got coming up on the show in the main event. So stay tuned. We'll be right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all your electronic repair needs. specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating, or on Facebook, or by searching One Stop Repairs. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs. Call today for a quote at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Welcome to Break It Down. Your guy, Bully Rye, PJ Steven, we are breaking down Crown Jewel 2022, and let's get right into the card. First up on the card, Brock Lesnar taking on Bobby Lashley in a rematch. Really a rematch from when Brock Lesnar took the title. No, Bobby Lashley took the title off of Brock Lesnar. Then they would face off in Elimination Chamber. That would see Bobby Lashley relinquish the title. And this is really their first rematch since. PJ, I'm kind of curious to what your thoughts are, because we were excited for the first match between these two, and I don't remember being that fond of it. How'd you feel about this match? What were your thoughts going into this match? And let us know what you thought about Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, number two.
Definitely didn't love the match. Definitely didn't hate it, though. I mean, you know, I think these guys actually have really good chemistry, Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, but you went about 6 minutes here, so it didn't go too long. It got the job done. Not a bad match, but nothing I was looking forward to. You knew what you were going to get. You were going to get a physical match. You're going to get a physical match with two big dudes. I do have a note here. The spear that Lashley hit on Lesnar when he threw before he threw Lesnar back in the ring to actually start the match was pretty good.
Oh yeah,
and then Lashley's just hitting spears on Lesnar. He hit three spears on him. Actually, I think was it like four or five. And then Lashley had tried to put the Hurt Lock on Lesnar. Lesnar's got a counter, give him three Germans and an F5. This is the first time in a while that I've seen Lesnar really get dominated. Lesnar's actually going to hit a second F5, and then for Lashley to get out and do a spine buster, and then the last couple hits of the match, Lashley's going to do another Hurt Lock on Lesnar, who they're doing the arm thing, and Lesnar's going to keep the turnbuckle to break the hold. He still kept the Hurt Lock on, but then Lesnar's going to land on Lashley, shoulders to the mat, the referee counted the pin, and Lesnar won. I thought that it was a weird way for Lesnar to win, because it's almost like it was a regular match for Lesnar. And for a long time, Lesnar's not used to winning that way. Winning like, what's the word?
Defensively. Winning defensively.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's clean. It's kind of like, you know, didn't Stone Cold defeat Bret Hart that way?
Yeah, he rolled up. He Bret Hart beat Stone Cold.
Stone Cold had him in the sleeper.
It was the million dollar dream. But he actually rolls over instead of
and one, two, three. So I wish that Lesnar just would have maybe hit a third F5. I think it would have made both of them still look strong, because, like, you know, Lesnar won just by, you know, leverage, which is fine, which is realistic, and it's fine. It makes sense. But to keep both guys super strong, which you got to still do that here, but to keep them super strong, it's like, man, what if Lesnar hit a third F5 on Lashley, and that's finally how he got the cover, you know? Also, this match made me miss Lashley using the fucking Dominator. All I could think of was like, man, imagine him giving a Dominator to Lesnar. That'd be fucking tits. Anyway, excuse me.
I'm right there with you. I mean, this looked like a squash match. We saw a kayfabe injury to Brock Lesnar's knee, and Bobby Lashley would beat the hell out of him for about 5 minutes and 50 seconds. I didn't like the finish, because, like, you couldn't keep the Hurt Lock on, so Lesnar basically had to, like, hold Bobby down by, like, bear-hugging himself with Lashley's arms. You know, after the match, Bobby Lashley goes nuts and just continues to beat up Brock Lesnar, puts him back in the Hurt Lock. I gave this match a star and a half, but PJ, I think there's a bigger question here. Did we start to see the semblance or the start of a heel turn for Bobby Lashley? Because he's been very, like, violent since this match.
I don't think so. But to be honest with you, I really didn't think of it like that. So we might be actually, now that you mention it. But first, first instincts, I wouldn't say so. But I can see that.
Because the crowd turned on Lashley in this match. The crowd was
hot
at Lesnar.
Correct.
And so you know you got to work to the crowd. So obviously Bobby's going to be playing heel. But he's a babyface on TV, and you got to keep it that way. But he shows up on Monday Night Raw, and he beats up Mustafa Ali to take a U.S. title shot from Seth Rollins. So, yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out going forward, because I think we started to see a potential like new gimmick for Lashley going back to like, you know, that the hurt what was the hurt business type deal where he was just relentlessly aggressive and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see this play out. Next up on the card, we have WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match, Damage Control. Dakota Kai and Io Sky would challenge the newly crowned champions, Alexa Bliss and Asuka. I will start us off here because I don't have many matches or many notes, I should say. You get a pre-match promo with Bliss and Asuka, and you get the tease of Bray Wyatt's little like buzzard butterfly looking thing in the screen. I'm sure you caught that. And the crowd popped for it when they saw it too. It actually even distracted Alexa Bliss. I thought that was probably part of the best part of the pre-match festivities. Match was pretty decent. Makes more sense. Bliss and Asuka would have won the titles the week leading into this match. And it makes more sense now. Because we're going to have new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Io Sky and Dakota Kai will get the win. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is now the first ever title change in Saudi Arabia. PJ, how do you feel about this match? And am I right in my thoughts that it's the first time that a title has changed place overseas in Saudi Arabia?
I think it was. I actually didn't really realize that. However, I will say I like the chemistry of all four of these women. I really want to see Alexa Bliss, however, back in that the title picture.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. And I mean, we still got two champions, two women's champions, I should say. So we should be able to see some sort of return to that title picture here sometime.
Oh, wait a minute. No, Ryan, it's totally not the first. I don't know what all first title changes are. But no, Goldberg defeated Bray Wyatt for the Universal Championship at the Super
right.
Show thing.
I forgot that was in Saudi Arabia where he won the title.
Oh, wait a minute. And Brian, Bray Wyatt beat Seth Rollins for the United States Champion or for the Universal Champion in Crown Jewel 2019.
Well, I was completely
and
wrong.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just ran.
Leave Brock me Lesnar, alone.
Brock Lesnar beat Braun Strowman for the Universal Champion in 2018.
Can I keep going? Is there another and in there?
No, I think that's good. Go ahead.
No, I'm giving you a hard time, man. Yeah, so I was way off base. Maybe it's the first women's title change in Saudi Arabia. So
that's what I'd say too.
I'll find some sort of solace in that. Next up,
oh shit, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy beat Cesaro and Sheamus for the Raw Tag Team Champions in 2017 or 18. I can't. Maybe 2018 at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
I swear to God, nope. All right, I'm gonna completely retract my statement.
Cut that.
No, it's staying in. It's not coming out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's staying in.
I'm not right a lot, and when I'm right, it's staying in.
Oh
it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Next up on the card, we get a steel cage match. I'm not gonna claim that was the first ever steel cage match by WWE in Saudi Arabia. Drew McIntyre taking on Karrion Kross, accompanied by Scarlett. Sort of this little rivalry brewing up here. I think we're going to be moving on. This might have been the payoff match between these two. I wrote one note. I should mention I gave the tag team match 3 stars. I gave this match a star and a half. There wasn't really much to say. It was slow paced. Scarlett gets involved. You sort of the typical race to see who can get out the cage first. And obviously with Scarlett getting involved, you knew some stuff was going to happen, but. PJ, how'd you feel about this match between Karrion Kross? I know you're not a big fan of Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre here.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I love Drew McIntyre. But yeah, I was just going to – I wrote in my notes, I still don't get Karrion Kross. I love the dynamic with him and Scarlett. I love the entrance. I love the look. And then and then the bell rings. And I don't get it. That being said, I liked this match. And then after I read about Drew McIntyre being like super like ill and sick during this match, it definitely shows – But the dude pulled through and had a 13-minute match in a cage match, no less. Great match. Not bad. Yeah, and Karrion Kross is talented, by the way. He's a really good worker. But, I just don't see the hype. And that's – maybe I'm the idiot. But, yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre – Not bad, though. Drew McIntyre escapes the cage as Scarlett is pulling on Karrion Kross to get him out. McIntyre goes over in what I think is going to be their final – The final match between these two for some time. Next up, we got one of those.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Sure.
Does Drew McIntyre get back in the main title picture after this?
I don't know. I mean, we're coming up on Survivor Series, and he's part of the Team Brutes, if you will. So I don't know. Listen, I don't know if he goes back in the title picture at all. Like, I know he's going to be taking on Roman in that. War Games match, but I don't. How many times is he going to lose to Roman before they like permanently
and that was him? And that was my point is that it's just getting old. And where do you take Drew from now, or what do you take Drew from there? And that's why I really can't wait for the titles to get separated again.
See, I disagree. I don't think you need to separate the titles with the way that the business is now, but I do think that there's opportunity for. More contenders for the mid-card titles. I mean, Drew McIntyre was a young Intercontinental Champion once upon a time.
He was,
And you know, you've got Gunther, you know, defending against Rey Mysterio, defending against Sheamus, and some really great matches. There's a lot of European talent on the roster right now that would make sense to be in the Intercontinental title picture, if you will. And I think McIntyre would have a great rivalry with Gunther, and I don't know who you might be able to put with him, but I think he can have a really good rivalry with
so he goes guy. So he goes back to the so he goes to the Intercontinental title picture.
I mean, I would that's what I would like to see. I mean, Seth Rollins is the current United States champion, so I wouldn't mind seeing McIntyre back in the Intercontinental title picture. Next up on the card was one of the most anticipated matches that we had here at Crown Jewel, the Judgment Day. Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio taking on the OC, AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson. This match went 14 minutes. PJ, this is the first match you said that you were really excited to see. How'd you feel about this match?
Yeah, I really did enjoy it, but I didn't love it. And I think it's my fault. I put too much faith into it, and I just had the hype too much. But it's not their fault. It just, you know, they had a really, really great match. I'm pretty sure I gave it 3 stars. You know, towards the end of the match, we get Styles attempting a phenomenal forearm on Balor, and, you know, Ripley's going to lift Styles onto her shoulders and through Styles' face first to the ring apron. Good stuff there. I love the things that Rhea Ripley's doing in this match. I mean – really, really good stuff. She's moving almost like a heavyweight here. It's really cool to see. Balor's going to perform the coup de grace on Styles to win the match, so the Judgment Day go over. I'm going to say it. I don't see the hate. And you know what I'm going to hit you with, and you're going to disagree. But I don't see the hate with Dominic Mysterio, man. Like, he's not fucking terrific. He's not like a 5-star general. But he's a good worker, and he's a kid that's doing his best, and he's doing all right to tell a fucking good story. I think that he gets caught up too much in the shadow of his dad, and people are expecting 619s every fucking match, and I think that needs to go to a rest. I think Dominic Mysterio is doing a good job, and I think he's in a group that's going to carry him even further. So, I mean, I thought he did okay in this match.
Yeah, listen, my first note for this match said that Dom still needs a lot of work, but this match has got a lot of talent in it. I think to your point, Dominic Mysterio, his last name has expectations that he's supposed to already be his dad, and it's not going to happen. He doesn't have the same body type. He doesn't need to try to use the same move repertoire, if you will. Like, he needs to come up with his own style. And now I'm feeling that they did a disservice by putting him in a team with his dad, because while we had the feel good moments here and there, we never were able to see him develop on his own. And I think
I agree. I think, once again, to your point,
being with Balor and Priest and Ripley for that matter, he's going to have a chance to sort of like do his own thing. And he's eating up the crowd, by playing the Eddie Guerrero card, and like, he's better than Eddie Guerrero. Like, the fans are like legitimately getting, you know, heat on him.
And the argument is, well, they're getting heat on him because he sucks. It's like, well, you're sure talking about him.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of the point, right? But I guess as far as the match goes,
I do have a note here. I want to say, I'm so sorry. The calf crusher that AJ Styles is putting on, he counters it into a figure four. It's just so loose, and it just reminds me about how just terrific AJ Styles is as a fucking wrestler. And again, I broke a record here, but I want to see him in the fucking title picture like immediately. I don't know.
AJ Styles, one of the best workers in the world, has been one of my favorite wrestlers for a long time. This match had a lot of really, really great action with some clunky spots, but I'm still loving the angle where they bring back Gallows and Anderson. And again, they mentioned it. They finally drew mention to the fact that both Balor and Styles both were leaders of the Bullet Club and called it Bullet Club by name on the pay-per-view.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, it was a pretty unique spot there, or I guess a pretty unique moment where Michael Cole called out Bullet Club by name. But you mentioned it. Judgment Day goes over. I gave this match 3 stars. I'm excited to see what goes forward here now with Mia Yim as part of the OC now as their female companion. So sort of a little interested to see what happens there. Not to mention, how much longer does Keith Lee have his contract at AEW? And does he come back and join his wife back in WWE now that she is back on the main roster? Next up on the card is a match that had no business being as good as it was. Braun Strowman taking on Omos, the battle of the monsters, the battle of the giants. It goes 7 minutes, 20 seconds. But this match, PJ, and you may disagree with me, I thought this match was a lot better than I expected it to be. It looked like Omos was going to win in a squash because he's just destroying Strowman. He even cut off the Strowman Express on the outside. Strowman has to really counter into his running power slam as a reversal to get the win. Considering that, like, we've seen Big Show or the Giant versus Kevin Nash, we've seen The Undertaker and Great Khali, we've seen two big dudes go at it before, and we at least I myself have started to temper expectations, because while these matches can, like, on paper look fun, the fact that you got two big men who are not used to selling sort of offers a unique situation. So PJ, like I said, Braun Strowman gets the win. How'd you feel about this Braun Strowman versus Omos match?
I completely agree with almost every word you said. Like, I did not expect it to be really good. I actually, like, this was one of the matches that I was making my sandwich at. Sat down, because I only took 2 minutes to make a PB&J. Sat down, and I was like, oh, shit, this match is still going on. Fuck. And I actually really got into it, and I really enjoyed it. I was surprised when the Express got cut off. Back into the ring, the choke slam was blocked, and then we get a setup for the running power slam. Strowman goes over on Omos, and yeah, great match. I enjoyed this. Omos slamming Strowman down with zero trouble, and then does it again just to be arrogant is wow. And you're talking about dominating. I mean, with no trouble at all, he picked his ass up, and it was short, 7 minutes. Didn't go too long. You know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, again, a much, much, much better than it should have been. A fun match. I gave it between 2.5 and 3 stars. So not like one of those must-see matches, but if you like to see two big men go at it, it's a pretty probably one of the better ones that you'll see within the last few years. We're moving right along here, PJ. The next match on the card is for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, the Usos taking on the Brawling Brutes team featuring Ridge Holland and Butch. And I'm going to let you start us off here. How'd you feel about this match? It goes 10 minutes, 45 seconds. How'd you feel about this match? And did the right team go over?
I definitely think the right team went over. Usos are another fucking beast, man. This match went 10. You know, let me say, all these matches before the next one, which is the women's match, the last woman standing, have been under 15 minutes, and it's been perfect time. This is like one of the most well-timed WWE events in a long time. It didn't go over. It wasn't too much. But anyway, you get the Usos and the Brawling Brutes, Ridge Holland and Mr. Butch. They go 10 minutes and 45 seconds. Great time here. So Jimmy's going to make a blind tag to Jay. Super kick to a double super fly splash for the two, which I thought was going to be three. But Butch is going to come in and make the save. Jay is selling a bad hand here, and I don't know if it's kayfabe or not. I assume it is. Looks like he's selling his wrist. Holland's hitting the white noise for a very near fall. The Brutes are going to send Jimmy right over the barricade. I wrote down a kick to the head into a northern grit. I didn't know that was the name of the move. And I was like, why did he say northern grit? What is that? And then I picked it up. Another two, but Jimmy's going to dive back in for the save. Holland sent outside, and it's a super 1D to retain the titles at 10 minutes, 35 seconds. Great double team here. A few false finishes, but not enough to get old. This match is a 4-star match.
Yeah, I gave this match 3.5 stars. It only, like I said, went 10 minutes, 45 seconds. It could have gone a little longer, if you ask me. The Usos, maybe, you told me they're on another level. They may be the best tag team on the planet. They can work with literally anyone and put on stellar matches. I mean, they've had ridiculous matches with New Day. They've had great matches I'm pretty sure they had some decent matches with the Viking Raiders. But, like, they can put on a 4-star to 5-star match with anybody. It's a shame to me that as good as they are, that at least not anytime soon will we ever see a match between them and FTR or the Revival. Because I would love to see sort of a cross promotion where we get to see the Usos take on FTR, because they're probably the two most over tag teams in the world, at least in the United States right now. I mean, this match was phenomenal.
Never say never, baby. Never say never.
I think, you know, fortunately for them, unfortunately for us as fans, I think FTR is happy where they are. A lot of the people that we talk to have soured on them for nothing more than the fact they're in AEW, and that's dumb. They were legitimate when they were in WWE. They're still legit now in AEW. They're going to get to wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom that we're going to talk about in the main event of this show. But I digress. A great match between the Usos and Brawling Brutes. Definitely go out of your way to watch this match. Next up, we are, again, moving right along here. The penultimate match. That's your vocabulary word of the day. Of Crown Jewel, the last woman standing match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Bianca Belair, the champion, taking on Bayley. I actually wrote some notes, and I'm going to go ahead and start us off here. The chair shots to me were weak. The kendo stick was almost I don't know. There was a kendo stick spot where it flew out the ring and almost hit some kids in the front row.
Yes.
They even said it on commentary too. And the referee, they don't move it. Like, they could have moved it, but they didn't. And eventually they go out to the outside and the referee sees it and moves it away. There was a spot with a golf cart on this show that seemed really cringy and not like it really belonged. I know. So two things. One, the Live Tour is based out of Saudi Arabia. So they made a mention of the Live Tour, you know, golf carts, Live Tour, golf. I get it. But two, it was sort of their own version of what happened at the stadium show with Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. Agree with me or disagree with me. That's where I took it. And it was super cringe to me. It didn't feel like it fit here. There was nothing really special. Like, nobody got hit with the golf cart. Bianca throws Bayley on the top of the golf cart and then drives it down the ramp. and doesn't even slam on the brakes to see Bayley like roll off the top of it, like just sort of weak. And then being last woman standing match, you know, obviously you got to answer the 10 count. And the entire match, the referee counted way too fast. And the ending, you know, the way it was, the way the match ended, it seemed sort of planned out. Like you sort of kind of knew what was coming after there was a spot on the outside where Bayley put Bianca underneath the steel stairs to sort of trap her under there to make sure she couldn't answer the 10 count. You now have a ladder set up in the ring. Bianca puts Bayley on the ladder and then locks it underneath the bottom rope to get the 10 count. So the ending made sense, but it just seemed way too planned out to me, way too scripted. I only gave this match 2 stars. PJ, how'd you feel about this match for the Raw Women's Championship?
So I did give it 3 stars, but I only wrote one note really. And it's I love the violence, but there were some spots here that were probably a lot better on paper than in execution.
Yep.
I also said that I can't wait for a new opponent. Where is Rhea Ripley?
Ooh, that'll be fun.
The match wasn't bad. It went a little long, and I ended up giving it 3 stars. But the match went a little long, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, this match went 20 minutes and 20 seconds. It was the second longest match on the card, and I understand why, but you probably could have done the exact same thing and cut 5 minutes out of it, like, honestly.
Also, I really hate – and I, you know – Logic, but I hate the whole let's bury him with a bunch of shit. That'll keep him down for 10 seconds.
Yeah, that seems to be their answer. That seems to be their answer with the Last Man Standing matches lately. It really does.
I really do, Ryan. Like, it's really stupid, and
it's lazy.
Yeah, it very much is lazy. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. We before we get to the main event, we get a Bray Wyatt promo. The crowd is hot for this. I'm not sure if you picked up on the symbolism or the way that they made this sort of speech look. But there was a dual shade on his face, a la if you've ever seen the Obi-Wan Kenobi show on Disney Plus. Free plug for them. Not that anybody's going to run over to Disney Plus and subscribe for me.
Well, not with that attitude.
No, not with that attitude. But no. So there's two shades. There's two different colors on his face. There was blue on one side and there was red on the other. And if you have watched the Obi-Wan show, there was a scene in that show where it sort of symbolizes the blue of the good side of the Jedi, of the light side of the Force, and the red being that of the dark side and the Sith, you know, folklore. If it wasn't planned, this might have been the best coincidence that they've ever done. But throughout this promo that he cuts, half of his face is blue, half of his face is red. And to me, it symbolizes that continued fight for him not to give in to his demons and go back to being this crazy psychopath, you know, just monster that he was. Before we get into the main event, do you have anything you want to add about that promo? Because I thought it was a very, very unique and awesome promo to be had in Saudi Arabia.
No, I really did enjoy it, but yeah, good stuff.
Yep. Well, let's get right in here. We have made it to the main event of the pay-per-view or the premium live event. Roman Reigns.
It's a pay-per-view.
Roman Reigns, the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion, taking on Logan Paul. I was going to mention something about Omos. There was a reason MVP did not come out of the ring with Omos, and I forgot to mention it during that match. MVP, I don't know if you saw this, PJ. He was a converted Muslim. He's now a practicing atheist, and that is illegal in Saudi Arabia. And so they had to have him beat down on SmackDown the night before. And that's a real, real late cliff note. So you're welcome for all that. But once again, WWE Universal Championship is on the line. Logan Paul, Roman Reigns. PJ, why don't you tell us how you thought about this match?
I missed that. I missed a little bit of that. I caught it, but who was a Muslim? MVP?
MVP was a practicing Muslim. And right. He has converted since to atheism. And when you renounce the Muslim religion in Saudi Arabia, that is viewed as a crime. And if he had shown up in Saudi Arabia, they get a prosecuted him for that. It's pretty interesting, right? So, yeah, once again, here we are, the main event, Roman Reigns, Logan Paul, and PJ. I've started us off in the last few matches, or at least I've started us. I've been told I talk too much. So, PJ, how'd you feel about this
you
match?
You talk too much. You never shut up. I say you talk. Oh, sorry. Macho Mania came out today.
Macho Mania, 10-4. Well,
no, Botcha Mania.
Botcha Mania. What's Botcha Mania?
You don't know what Botcha Mania is, for real?
I thought Botcha Mania was like that YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Wait, so they released a new video today or something?
Yeah. They release one every week, or every couple of days, rather. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
I can't believe you never see it. Yeah, that's one of the things, like, when... You know, like when they make fun of wrestlers.
Oh yeah,
talk too much during the matches. You can hear them saying shit, much like John Cena, and I fucking hate John Cena. But the Botchamania the gimmick is it's like some song, and he's like, "You talk too much. You never shut up. I say you talk too much," and then it goes into like. All right, we're going to go for a suplex, and, like, they make fun of it. That's where the whole, like, I Am the Table came from, because there's a terrible Metallica song. And I can't remember what it's called. It might be called I Am the Table, but it's the song that was on the Lou Reed record with Metallica, and it's called I think it's called I Am the Table. And that's why, like, anytime a table doesn't break every time a table doesn't break, they have James Hetfield saying, "I am the table." And that's where that came from.
That's hilarious.
And the song is called The View, and it's from to the 2011 record. Transitioning to that, guys, we were talking about Roman Reigns defending his undisputed Universal Champion against Logan Paul. Now, speaking of Botchamania, tying all this together, during the press conference, Logan Paul did say, "You may be head of the table, but I am the table."
That's hilarious.
And he didn't know anything about Botchamania, as according to him. They did an interview and somebody said, "Dude, that's from Botchamania." He didn't know what it was either. But table.
What a great transition there, bud. Like, that was top notch work there.
That's all right, right? Like, I am the table. So here we go. Not a bad match. There's going to be a lot of controversy with this because everybody knows how much I and you, both of us, really hate Logan Paul.
I can't. I literally, my first note is hate Logan Paul. Can't say it enough. And then when he comes to the ring, he does the throat slash gesture that was supposed to have been banned. So that's fun. That's a neat way to start off the match here.
Yeah, Logan Paul botches a buckshot lariat. Not bad, but yeah, he buckshot or he.
Didn't think he botched it. I thought that was one of the good things he did with this match.
I mean, it looked pretty good, but didn't he like miss a step or two? Or maybe I'm just making that up because I hate him.
I think Roman. Yeah, Roman was just too. He was really far away, but he still.
Maybe that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
His springboard, Paul's springboard is knocked out of the air. Heyman's right there to do a big, he's speeching. Logan Paul goes, fights up, hits a gut wrench suplex, but actually, looked pretty good. And then a blockbuster is going to give Logan Paul the two, which I was always called the blockbuster. I always called it the overcastle, but whatever. I digress.
Who did the overcastle? Because Buff Bagwell did the blockbuster.
The Hurricane, from what I remember, used to do the overcastle.
Huh. Fair enough.
Logan Paul's going to talk to his friends in the front row, giving him a camera as Paul goes up, and he's going to do a splash through the table with camera in hand, and then connects here. Good stuff. The Usos come out and start beating up Logan Paul's friends, which is pretty easy. Here comes Jake Paul coming out to the Usos with a right hand on everybody.
How does Jake Paul get his own music? Like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but how does Jake Paul?
I had the same note.
I just want to punch. He's got such a punchable face. Like, I want to get into a sparring. I want to spar with him. And I don't care that I haven't trained a single day to be a boxer. I would love to just put him on his ass.
So we get it's not a bad match. We get Roman's we get Reigns hitting a Superman punch and a spear to retain at almost 25 minutes. Logan Paul, you have to give the devil his due. Logan Paul did a good job here.
So I'm gonna read through my notes because they're fairly short, but there's a few of them. I already mentioned the throat slash as he does before the match even starts. There's a new family tree graphic when Roman's music hit that was pretty cool.
I did like that.
Yep, Logan hits a hip toss on Roman at one point, and it was just ugly, just not pretty. I thought, like I mentioned, the buckshot lariat I thought was on point. Probably the best picture from this match was his catapult into that punch from Roman off the top rope, where he went airborne and it almost looked like an anime like fight. It was a pretty cool visual. Roman trash talking to the camera during this match is a whole ass mood. Like he's finally starting to get that, and I'm digging it. I really am. Logan tries to hit a sweet chin music. There was like some video footage of Shawn Michaels teaching him how to wrestle, and he was tuning up the band, and like instead of going for sweet chin music, go for like a front kick, and it looked awful.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Again, you mentioned he got the phone to go on Instagram Live to hit the frog splash. That was a pretty cool spot. The worst part about the show is that Jake Paul got his own entrance music and got to beat down the Usos. That is a note that I actually wrote down, and I said what I said a second ago off the cuff. So there it is. You know, at the end of the day, Logan's an athlete. He can do a bunch of really fun stuff offensively. I still don't think he can sell all that well. I really don't know what else to say about it. Just – again, really.
Can you at least, and this is coming from someone who doesn't like them. Can you at least admit that he was entertaining in this match?
Oh, the match was entertaining, and I'm actually about to get into it. So the match was entertaining.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Roman made the match entertaining. We talk a lot about how people who aren't the best wrestlers, when you get them in the ring with a great wrestler, that when that other wrestler can make him look like $1 million, that says a lot about more about the guy taking all the punishment than the one dishing it out. And Roman made Logan look like a phenomenal wrestler in this match. And to me, that says a lot about the growth of Roman as a performer. I gave this match 4 stars, but I give 3.9 of the stars to Roman Reigns. Like, this dude, I've gone on record before. We've talked about it before. That his in-ring work, at best, can be mid, as MJF would say. But he made Logan Paul look like a main eventer in this match. And that says a lot about Roman Reigns. And it made the match entertaining. Would you sort of agree or disagree from that perspective?
I can agree to that. I don't think all the credit is on Roman, though.
Yeah, again, like I said, Logan Paul's an athlete. He could do some athletic stuff. He was doing a lot of stuff that we were all doing to our brawling buddies or to our pillows when we were kids. What we were doing to our friends on the trampoline in the backyards. He was doing a lot of that same stuff that we were doing as kids. He was just doing it at a big show for WWE. I mean, that's
correct. Correct. Yeah.
That's kind of my point. So once again, 4 stars is what I gave this match. PJ, how did you get, what sort of rating would you give Crown Jewel 2022 as a whole?
I struggled between 3.5 to 4 stars. After talking about it with you, I think I'll go with 4 stars. It wasn't a bad event at all.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. I really don't have another reason other than to say that, like, there was some great action. None of the matches really seemed to drag. Like, that Logan Paul Roman match, like you said, went 24 minutes, 50 seconds, and it really didn't feel like it went that long. And so, right. Kudos. You know what? I've already talked myself. I'll give this show 4 stars, too. Folks, we're going to take one quick break. We come back. We are going to sound off. We're going to give you some things to look forward to here on the show. It is Thanksgiving week, which means that we are right around the corner from Survivor Series. We've got obviously some football shows, but football show will be a little early this week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Stay tuned. We're going to get into that more in the main event of Tap House and Touchdowns right after this. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to Tap Outs and Touchdowns in the main event of this week's wrestling show. It's your guy, Bully Rye, with PJ Steven. PJ, I know something is right around the horizon that you are very excited about. Before I give you the floor to talk about New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom, I wanted to give you a shout-out. I had the fortunate ability to watch PJ and Guardians Warlock in one of their final shows up here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. He has since had a couple of other shows, and it is time for them to rest now, as his social media would say. But PJ, I just wanted to thank you for sharing your gift with me and the world for so long with this band, and I wanted you to tell you how much I genuinely enjoyed watching your show in Spartanburg. So thank you very much for what you were able to entertain me with.
Well, I appreciate that. That does mean a lot, man. It was a lot of fun. I will talk a little bit about it, I suppose. Yeah, we did. You saw the Ground Zero show with us and Silverton Devils and opening for Pentagram, which is a legendary metal band that's been around since 1971. We then went on to play our final show at the Tin Roof at a packed out house. A couple friends from Suplex City was there. Will Morgan Norris was there. All Joe Morgan jumped on stage with us to do Ass Man. That was fun. Again, packed out. We played for an hour and a half. It was really, really special. We went on for a little epilogue to accept our award for the best metal band in Charleston 3 years in a row. And we performed at the Music Farm, which is the largest venue here in Charleston. And that was a blast too. It was either going to go really bad or really great, because you know, those people were not there to hear metal. They were there to hear, you know, country, pop, rock and roll, you know, the soft rock and all that bullshit that, you know, Charleston has to offer, which is all talented musicians, but they were not there to hear heavy metal. And they really enjoyed us, and we got a lot of cheers, and we got people saying that we should go back on stage and do more. So that was nice. But yeah, I appreciate that. It was a long couple of, it's been a long 7.5-8 years with Guardians Warlock. For those that don't know, my wife and my drummer and I are going to be moving to New Mexico next year. So it was one of those things where it was like, if I don't stop booking shows, I'm never going to move. And I want to move because South Carolina just ain't it anymore. But anyway, enough about me. I want to talk about what I love. Yeah, and that is New Japan Pro Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just coming off last night, or early this morning, rather. New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom teamed up for a historic crossover, Stardom and New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was fantastic. I'm not going to name everything off the card, but it was a fantastic event. I saw some parts of it because you had to be in Japan to watch it. You actually had to have New Japan coordinates, for lack of a better word. I can't remember what it's called. But you had to be in Japan to actually watch it. So this is the first time I haven't watched in New Japan, you know, all the way. But Kazuchika Okada teaming up with the Great Muta and Toru Yano defeats Jeff Cobb, Great Okada, and Aaron Hierro. Wow. Seeing Okada and Muta in the same ring as partners was just fantastic. Loved it. But let's get to why we're here. So the IWGP United States Championship was on the line with Will Ospreay defeating Shota Umino. Great match. And lights go out when they're celebrating with Will Ospreay. And Kenny Omega pops up on the screen, tells Ospreay that he will save New Japan Pro Wrestling and save the promotion, and challenges Will Ospreay to face him at Wrestle Kingdom 17. Holy fuck. We're not done, though. IWGP Women's Championship debut, Kairi, who you remember as Kairi Sane, who had the greatest elbow drop we've ever seen. The Pirate Princess takes on Mayu Iwatani, and Kairi goes over, and she becomes the very first IWGP Women's Champion. Amazing. Tam Nakano comes out, challenges her to Wrestle Kingdom 17. So that's why we're here, guys. We're going to Wrestle Kingdom 17, January 4th, folks. Already, we've got a stacked card, and it's only five matches so far. Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's debut back, a return to New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's going to be just amazing. Tashi Ishimori versus Hiromu Takahashi, El Desperado, and Master Wado, a fatal four-way for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Amazing. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Rin Narita, a tournament final for the inaugural New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Championship. Now, I know that that's confusing, but New Japan World is the streaming service that they use. So it's a television champion. It's a world type of television champion. It doesn't make any sense. World is the name of their streaming thing. So it's the streaming, you know, television championship. Just go with it. Kairi taking on Tam Nakano for the IWGP Women's Championship. And then so far, our main event, folks, Switchblade, Jay White, who I will be meeting this weekend at WrestleCade. I didn't tell you that. I'm going to be meeting Jay White at WrestleCade this weekend.
Dude. That's awesome.
And he's taking on Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Wow. January 4th, I will be up at 2 a.m. watching this. I have invited Ryan, but I know it's past his bedtime at that time. And it's on a weekday, so you probably can't get off, but that's okay. I cannot wait to talk about this show when it's over. I can't wait to talk about it, the shows leading up to it. Just great stuff. And we're also getting a lot of great New Japan NOAH stuff happening. Where I don't know if you saw that it was announced, but it's announced that Great Muta will be taking on Shinsuke Nakamura on the big NOAH pay-per-view to lead in for Muta's final year, kind of like what they did with Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what's going on, man, in the New Japan world.
A lot of fun stuff in New Japan. It's also that time of year. We just passed AEW's full gear pay-per-view. Not going to spoil any of the results. I have spoiled them for myself because I personally have not watched the show yet. But the main event featured MJF finally taking on Jon Moxley for the AEW World's Championship, a tag team match for the Tag Team Championship. The Acclaimed took on Swerve in Our Glory. The Interim World Women's Championship was defended. Toni Storm defended against Jamie Hayter. Much more. There was also a TNT Championship Triple Threat, Wardlow, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and the returning Jeff Jarrett would team with former Impact TNA original Jay Lethal to take on Sting and Darby Allin. Much more left on the show. Saraya made her in-ring return in this show, taking on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And I haven't even begun to touch the surface because there's Ring of Honor World Championship in this match or in this show. A very packed card for AEW that just took place that we are going to be reviewing on the show in the very near future. I also mentioned that it is Thanksgiving week, and Thanksgiving tradition in WWE used to be talking about WWE Survivor Series. And although this year Survivor Series will feature War Games for the first time ever, we are going to have an episode where we're going to review an old Survivor Series, and we're going to start just kind of talk on the cuff or off the cuff. I'm not sure the exact phrase, but we're going to just kind of chit chat about what Survivor Series was.
Off the cuff.
Listen, man, it's been a long couple of weeks, and my mind is already in Thanksgiving vacation mode. So nevertheless, we're going to go off the cuff and talk Survivor Series in an upcoming show. This wrestling episode should be going out on Tuesday before Thanksgiving. My wrestling show will be going live tomorrow. They normally go live on Thursdays, but because of the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm going to post it a day early so that you can spend Thanksgiving with your family and not listening to me talk and give my terrible fantasy football advice because it has been bad the last couple of weeks. But a lot of stuff, really, really cool stuff coming on the show. We are coming up to the end of season 4 of the podcast, if you can believe it. I believe we're up to about 50 shows that we've done this year, which is insane to me, and it is not an inflated number like Goldberg's win record in WCW 1996 to 97. But I digress. A lot of cool stuff we got coming on the show. We are going to end the season around Royal Rumble and take a short hiatus until WrestleMania comes around to sort of refresh and give you guys a break from us. And to give an actual season break, because, you know, as a lot of people say, it's WWE's a prime example. The season premiere of Monday Night Raw with, I guess, the season finale the week prior. So we're gonna try to break it up that way and give ourselves a break. So nevertheless, PJ, this has been awesome talking today. Thank you once again for being on the show.
Of course. I love doing it. We cannot wait to give you guys the content that we got coming up. Like I said, we're just going to give you guys a really cool Survivor Series episode where we just talk about our favorite Survivor Series moments. I know that, spoiler alert, Ryan's favorite Survivor Series moment is the gobbledygooker.
Absolutely.
That is his favorite because he is a gobbledygooker himself. And then, yes, we're gonna give you guys a review of Full Gear. Really great pay-per-view. We can't wait to get into it as well. But we've got a lot of great content coming at you guys at the end of the year. I've already talked to Ryan about, now that I don't have to do shows, I have a lot more free time to talk wrestling with him. And, you know, that's what I love to do. So, yeah, a lot of cool content coming your way, including what you just mentioned. We still have to do Goldberg Streak. I know a couple of people have really asked us about that.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming. And like you said, we've got our availability a little more opened up so we can do this more consistently from a wrestling perspective right up leading up into our season finale come February. For PJ Steven, it's your guy Billy Rye. Thanks for joining Tap Outs and Touchdowns this week, and we'll see you next time, because I'll be around.